Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Labyrinths in the News. Today is the second day of the planetary dog moon of manifestation, Seli Root Chakra, Red Planetary Earth Day. The affirmation is, I perfect in order to evolve, producing synchronicity. I seal the matrix of navigation with the planetary tone of manifestation. I am guided by the power of life force. It's also Gregorian calendar Monday, April 5th, 2010. I'm your host, Christiana, coming to you live from the Couve, that's Vancouver, Washington, across the river from Portland, Oregon, and I will be doing usually every Monday at 3:30 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. My lead-in music is the first cut, Icos, short for icosahedron, the water symbol in sacred geometry, off of Susan Alexander's CD, Sequentia. If any of you want to chat while you're on the air, please go to Christiana-Anea at blogtalkradio.com. Well, my guest today is supposed to be Ian Brioch. He is a Welsh thespian and creator of Cerdroia, a labyrinth venue on the Welsh coast, but he has not called in yet. And, you know, there's 12 hours difference, so there might have been a problem. I'm not sure. It's too bad because he is a very interesting person. He has some fascinating ideas and labyrinth installations in Wales, one right on the coast on, it's on a plain above, it's on a plateau above a plain, pretty spectacular, that he does labyrinth events there. He does trainings there. And he has a company called Theater Sinfin, which is www.cynefin.org, and it's a sensory labyrinth theater company. And he still hasn't called in. I'm not sure what to do about this. I have emailed him, and I was hoping that I would hear from him, but I haven't. I'll just talk a little bit about my experience with Blog Talk Radio for now until hopefully he gets online. His information, he has a website. It's www.iwanbrioc.com. And he has information about his projects and workshops and training on that website. And he also has another website, www.troti.org, which is the Republic of the Imagination website. And this is about context-oriented theater. He's doing things that actively involve the participants in the theater experience. So in other words, instead of having a proscenium where there is an imaginary line between the actors on stage and the audience, in his theater, you're actively in the play itself. And this is how he's used labyrinths. He's actually set them up. If any of you have seen Pan's Labyrinth, the movie Pan's Labyrinth, it's not as dark and forbidding as that. But what he's done, if you go on his website, the Theater Sinfin website, and you click on Cairdroia, which is C-A-E-R-D-R-O-I-A, this is his labyrinth that he's created. It's about a mile-long labyrinth on this plateau. You'll see a picture of actually, he has some YouTube videos. Well, you'll see a picture of two trees with a stone archway that they've put up in between the two trees, and the path goes through the archway. So as you are walking the path of the labyrinth, you're in the theater. You're in a story. You're actually involved as a participant, as a character in the story as you're walking this labyrinth. It's really fascinating. And I so wish we could have him on today, but something has happened. He's very busy. He's all over between Wales and I think Yugoslavia and Portugal. They're doing labyrinth installations and activities all over. So I'm afraid that he's gotten probably hung up someplace. But this is one of the reasons why I do this. This is actually the first time this has happened to me. So, oh well, this is going to happen sooner or later. And it's going to happen because I actively encourage people from all over the world who are involved with labyrinths, who have taken to heart the labyrinth archetype as a tool, to call and tell us what you're doing. Tell me what you're doing. Let's have a conversation about it. Talk about your labyrinth activities. And that way, the labyrinths all around the world come closer and become understandable and familiar to us. And we get united that way. We get connected. And so the labyrinth community doesn't feel so out there and disjointed. You know, it's very much like walking the labyrinth when you feel all the way on the outside, as though you're the only person in the world who has these feelings about labyrinths and is just drawn to them and wants to work with them no matter what, and draws them and makes things with labyrinth designs. And this way, through this Blog Talk Radio show that I've done, that I've created, I bring all of these disparate people or people who love this work and love labyrinths, who are doing amazing things, amazing creative artistic things with labyrinths, together. And we get to share the events that you're involved with. You get to talk about this just very casually and very comfortably with me. I don't use a video camera, so it's just audio, and it's really just us talking, and you and me sort of bringing you out illuminating your experience, and we sort of distinguish the things that had you start walking labyrinths and why you're still doing it, what makes it so important to you. And it really helps others who are just starting. And it also connects. I mean, there are other things out there. There is the Labyrinth Society and its website and the Worldwide Labyrinth Locator. And there are other groups, guilds, labyrinth guilds. So there's the Trinity Episcopal Church Labyrinth Cathedral Labyrinth Guild in Portland, Oregon. There is a New England Labyrinth Guild in Boston. There is a Seattle Labyrinth Guild. There's lots of organizations that help people who are interested in labyrinths share their experiences, promote their seminars, their workshops. But this is a way for people all over the world to very easily call in and connect and share this information. And then what's great about it is that with all our modern technology, this is, you can just put it, download it to your iPod and listen to it. It's great listening material for road trips. Just terrific listening material. You just sit there and you listen. And all of these shows are archived on the Blog Talk Radio website. So you can go on to www.blogtalkradio.com/Christiana, Christiana, BTR. And then you can click on any of the episodes that you want to listen to and download it to your iPod. You can download it to your computer. You can put it on a CD, so you can put all the episodes, if you want, on a CD. No one's stopping you from doing that. So this is, it's a great modern tool to extend and connect, extend the reach of Labyrinths all over the world and connect everybody with one another. And it also, what happens is that you get ideas. You get ideas, you get energized because you listen to these stories and this information, and it's like, oh, wow, you know, I could do such and such like that, or what a great idea. What if we did something like that here, and we could find a place, we could find a venue. So it also creates some excitement. It validates your own interests in Labyrinths and your desires to create something with Labyrinths. And many of these interviews that I've done are with people who've had years and years and years of experience. So they've been through, you know, they've been through the gamut of awe and wonder, and at the beginning of what am I doing here, what is this thing that I'm walking to, yes, this is what's important to me, this is what I want to focus on, this is what I'm here for. And I know personally that's how I felt once I became a Labyrinth facilitator, a certified facilitator. There are interviews with people who really, it really helps to listen to these interviews. There's interviews about suffering and grief and how to use the Labyrinth with that. There's, and it's that's very helpful in today's world. We have so much going on this planet right now, so much upheaval, so many rugs have been pulled out from under us, no matter what country or what country, what city you live in, what country you're from, it's all the same. And listening to other people and finding out that you can walk this path very simply, and a very simple path, and without having to know anything, without having to learn anything, and it can be easeful. It can bring you a sense of peace. It can bring you some clarity. It can shift your thinking, literally, from this logical, goal-oriented, I've got to figure out an answer, I've got to come up with the money, I've got to, well, what's possible? What might I do instead of this path that I'm on? It's not working for me right now. And that is, it's just so valuable. And what's wonderful is that there's so many different kinds of labyrinths out there. There's hand labyrinths. There's what we call finger labyrinths. There's cloth labyrinths. There's wooden labyrinths. There's canvas labyrinths. And so people, there's no excuse for anyone not being able to walk it some way. Even if you're in a hospital, you're bedridden, somebody can bring you a wooden labyrinth that you can sit on your lap. If that's too heavy, people have made small canvas labyrinths that are sort of like the size of a napkin, a cloth napkin, and you can put it and you can use your finger and trace the labyrinth as many times as you want. One of my favorite labyrinths is the sand labyrinth that Veritatos created many years ago. And on one side is a sharp medieval style type labyrinth, and the other side is the Cretan classical labyrinth. And it's so sensory. It just feels wonderful guiding your finger through this sand. And very often I will do it with my left hand, my left finger, and close my eyes and just allow my hand going to go through this sand, guiding as it goes down the pathway. It's very calming. So there's so many different ones, and I'm sorry to say that our caller is still not on, and I hope we can reschedule this show for another time. I wish that he could have gotten on today. I'll continue talking for another. It's almost been a half an hour, and I hate to take up this time with just me blabbing, but I just want you to know that I'm doing this because I really think that this is a great venue for reaching out to labyrinth facilitators, labyrinth neophytes all over the world, and including them in the labyrinth energy that is this renewal of labyrinths that God bless her, Lauren Artress, pretty much instigated and spearheaded 15, 20 years ago. And I haven't had her on. She has her own talk show on not Blog Talk Radio, but on a different radio channel. So I felt that she was covered. But if she's listening and she's out there and she would like to come on my show, Lauren, I would love to have you on my show. I have a lot of people lined up, and I'm always looking for new people to come on my show. It's you know, it doesn't matter what you're doing with labyrinths. Anybody can be my guest. I don't bite. I really try to be very supportive. I send you a script so you're not completely surprised by the questions I ask you, although I will give myself permission to go off on tangents if I think that things that my guests say need clarification or further exploration. And that is where the fun comes in, because I'm a naturally curious person. So if my caller talks about something that I have no idea what they're talking about, I will ask them. And I'll ask them to talk more about it and explain themselves further, because I know that there's somebody else out here who wants the same thing and wants to know the same thing. So I will ask questions, and I do my homework. I research you as a guest, your website, your information that you send me very thoroughly. So I know what I'm talking about, or at least I know to ask the right questions. And if for some reason I go off on a completely wrong tangent on the script that I send you, you can email me back and just let me know that, hey, you know what, this doesn't work for me. I'm not really interested, or I don't really do that. Let's stick to such and such and such and such, which plenty of my guests have done in the past, and it's totally fine. That's a perfect situation. What I'm doing now and what I'm about now is that I am working to edit the sound quality on some of the archived episodes. I was very green in the beginning, so I certainly didn't know what I was doing or how loud or soft I needed to be compared to my guests. And there was some blank space in the beginning. So I have a program that I downloaded called Audacity, and I am using that to fix and clean up some of the old episodes. So and then what I will do, and what Blog Talk Radio allows you to do, is to download or input the new information into the Blog Talk Radio website. and erase the old one and put the new one in there. So, soon, within the next, probably by the end of June, I hope to have all of the episodes cleaned up and resubmitted. And then what I'm going to try to do is compile a CD with a year's worth of these episodes on it. So, and then at the Labyrinth Society gathering in New Harmony, Indiana, in the fall, in November, I hope to be able to offer this for sale with half of the proceeds to go to the Labyrinth Society, and probably use it as an auction for auction product for their TLS auction. And that way people can have them, they can pop them into their car CDs, their stereo systems, and have the collection of information ranging from, you know, as I said before, from people who are talking about grief and suffering to artists who use labyrinths in their artwork. I have many different people who were my guests and who are going to be my guests: John Ritter, Robert Foray, Adrian Fermoil, so many different people. And they all have created and contributed an awful lot to information that is really helpful in terms of building labyrinths. I just had Arianna Rain on, and she's just put out a book on British labyrinths of British Columbia, and so her information and her experience of the publishing industry and self-publishing and all of this I explored on her interview, and this is very helpful to people who are thinking about doing this in their own neighborhoods, in their own territories, in their own states. And it could be, so that's the kind of information that I'm trying to provide. It's not just about their experiences, although it is about my guests' experiences when they first walked labyrinths and how what kind of difference it's made in their lives. But it's also very practical experience on dealing with groups of people, on how to publish your materials, on the good site to put a labyrinth on. All of this kind of information that can be very, very helpful. And you can ask people on the facilitator network. Certainly people do that all the time, constantly. But sometimes it's helpful to hear what someone who has a labyrinth business like Robert Foray or John Ritter with his Pax Works, or an art business like Carlos Smith, what they've done and how they have created interest in their business, how they've handled public relations and marketing for their businesses, things like that. So there are practical aspects, and it does matter, especially if you're switching gears and you're going in another direction in your life and you want labyrinths to be the more important or the most important thing in your lives. It helps to know how other people did it and what the barriers were, what were the hurdles that they had to jump over in order to proceed, and how their businesses have progressed. I mean, nothing stays the same, and so it's a constant process of change and adaptation. I just had Sandra Roscoe Flood on, and again, here is someone who uses labyrinths in a context of her artwork that she's done for years and was doing for years before she came upon labyrinths, but has now incorporated labyrinths into her artwork and also into a bigger picture of Labyrinths being a tool for peace. And that has spearheaded her into all sorts of other directions because of the connections that she's made doing this. And this is also something that's very helpful for people to understand, that that once you get involved with Labyrinths, they'll take you on a ride, a roller coaster ride, and you have no idea where it's going to take you. And it's sort of what we all say, those of us who've done it for a long time, we all say, you know, you just trust. Because if a labyrinth wants to be built and a labyrinth and the labyrinth wants to come out in your life and blossom in your life, then, you know, just hang on. And you have no idea where it might take you and where it might lead you. And to be open to it, to be open to taking some risks, to be open to challenging yourself. And what's wonderful about it is that there is a community here. And that's one of the things that this points to too, that there is an active community of people who are totally dedicated to this archetypal tool, who have seen it firsthand within their own lives and their friends' lives and countless clients' lives, that the labyrinths have made a huge difference. And so they're there to support you, and we are here to support you, and that's what this show is about. It is for my guests to use as a marketing tool, and it's for people who are just listeners who love labyrinths to maybe get enthusiastic or encouraged or creative to start on their own labyrinth path. And I don't think Ian still has not called in, so I'm afraid that he has had to, something else of an emergency nature probably has come up, and hopefully we can get him on sometime soon. It's almost 4:00, and I'm going to probably end the show, because I doubt if he is going to be getting on now. And I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry for everybody who really wanted to hear about this, but I promise you that I will reschedule him, and we'll make sure that I get Ian on sometime soon, because what he's doing is so interesting. And I think it's so important to get people from Australia and Europe and all over involved with this show and on the air, so you can see just what's going on the planet, and it's fascinating and interesting, and I hope you continue to listen, and I thank you so much for calling in today or tuning in today, or if you decide to listen in archived as an archive show, that you don't mind that it's me blabbing away for a half an hour. But thank you so much for coming on and listening, and I hope that you continue to tune in. And next week we are going to have on April 12th, I'm going to have one of the Labyrinth ladies, and this is a woman named Christine McCullough, and she hails from Rhode Island, and it's great. This is my home stomping ground, so I'm really thrilled that I finally am getting some New Englanders who are very involved with labyrinths, and I know them very well through the New England Labyrinth Guild. I'm finally getting some of these people to call in and are asked to join me as my guest. And she is she and her partner, they do a path of healing and focus with the labyrinth that's a part of a bigger organization. And the labyrinth is a powerful and integral tool for them. And so please tune in next week on April 12th. And have a blessed week. And I am going to sign out now, and hopefully we'll get Ian back. Just stay tuned for information about this. I will adjust the information on Blog Talk Radio and on my website, and we will try to get Ian back on a later date. I will try to get Ian back on a later date. But you all have a blessed week in La Cache.